Heading? It's all right. I'm gonna let you guys in on a little secret. You may not know this about me. You might, but you might not. I'm really religious. Did you guys know this? I may be the most religious person you know. But what I also know is sometimes when religious people hear certain stories from the Bible, stories that are written in a certain way, that have certain flowery, dramatic imagery, sometimes we religious people can connect those stories with events that are happening in our lives or events that are happening in the world around us, especially if those events are frightening or scary or they make us nervous or they make us anxious. But here's what I can tell you. I'm not really one of those religious people. I do take these stories that we have from the Bible very seriously. They're very important to me, especially as they inform how I live my life, how I do my work, how I act as a husband, how I serve my children as a dad, and what kind of friend I am. So while I might not be one of those religious people who, you know, sees the snow that we're going to get this week and says, like, it's a sign, it's all coming to an end. I'm not one of those. But I am one who sees the hand of God at work in and among these stories, even the ones that are a little crazy, like this one from Isaiah that we had this morning. You may not have been listening carefully, which would be no big surprise, right? Sometimes we just come in and we sit down and we just need a little quiet and we don't hear those readings. But this one is an important reading, people. You hear me, small fries? Yes? This one's an important one. This is the call of Isaiah. And Isaiah is probably the most important prophet that we have in the Hebrew scriptures or in the Old Testament. And this story is a telling of this vision that Isaiah has. And it's a vision of God, although it's a dramatic one. Did you hear in the story? There are these winged creatures called, what are they called?
Seraphs.
Yeah, they're called seraphs. Right. And Isaiah has this incredible vision where he's sitting in God's house and there's a big altar and there are a bunch of seraphs flying around and there are earthquakes. You know what the earthquakes symbolize? Anybody?
The earth shakes and a bunch of rocks move.
Yeah, sometimes the earth shakes, sometimes a bunch of rocks move. And in this story, it means that God's a little upset. And so what we see here is we see God reaching out to God's people again, particularly this guy, Isaiah. And he has this vision and God comes to him and is like, hey, man, things are not going so great between us, between me and all of your people, Isaiah, and I need some help here. And then what does Isaiah say? I'll help you? No, not at first. He doesn't say that at first. What he says is, he uses kind of flowery language. He says, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips who sits in a people of unclean lips. He's saying, I'm not good enough. You don't understand, God. I see what you see. I see the problem, but I'm not good enough to go to the people and tell them what's up. And by the way, not only am I not good enough, but I sit in the midst of this whole family of people who aren't good enough either. And then one of these seraphs gets up, flies to the table, picks up this hot piece of coal, could be kind of like picking up a log out of a campfire, and he takes it over and he touches it to Isaiah's lips. And in this moment, Do you know what that symbolizes? What? It symbolizes that he is good enough. He is good enough to tell these people, Israel, what's up, so that he might help them restore their relationship. So there are all these like crazy images going on. But you know what my favorite part of this story is? Do you know? Do you know? Does anyone know? No one knows? Seriously? None of y'all. You do? What? Well, let me tell you. It's not Jesus. Jesus is in the different story, though I am exceedingly fond of Jesus. I'm not talking about him right now. I'm talking about Isaiah. There's this moment where Isaiah is overcome with emotion, and God is saying, like, who? Who will stand up and help restore the relationship that I have with my people? And then there's this wonderful human moment where Isaiah stands up and he says, what does he say? What? Kind of, no. What does he say? He says, here am I. Send me. He says, I get it, God. You're looking for someone to lead in this moment, and I'll do it. Do you know why this is my favorite part of the story? Because I think it begs this question of us, like, who are we going to be in times that are troubling or times that are challenging? Who are we going to be out on the playground when maybe two of our friends aren't getting along so well? Who will we be in that moment? Will we be the person who like makes fun of one of those kids? Or will we be the person that stands up and says like, hey, 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 stop. Please stop. The point of this playground, the point of this office, the point of this house, I'll just pause here and tell you guys, this is the moment where everyone out there thinks I'm saying this to you, but I'm really saying it to them. It's this, in that moment, on the playground, when your two friends are fighting, will you be the person who stands up and says, the point of this, the point of that slide, the point of those monkey bars, the point of all these chips, the point of all this snow is that we would have fun out here. And having fun out here means us getting together and relating one to another well. It means that we should be friends, not enemies. It means that we should play and not fight. Amidst all these crazy, wild, flowery images, the story that we have from Isaiah gives us this real human moment. And for me, it gives me pause and it makes me think, who do I want to be in a moment of trouble? So here's what I'm asking of you. And this is hard. Even Isaiah balks at it when he's first approached. Here's what I'm asking of you. I'm asking that in times of trouble, when you see friends at school who are upset with one another, when you see your big brother not paying any attention to your little brother, maybe even when you see dear friends, your folks, not getting along, could you stand up? Could you stand up and say, hey, 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 we're meant to love one another. You know, conflict's normal, right? Anybody here get in any fights with your brothers or sisters ever? No, I didn't think so. Yeah. Nobody raised their hands up here, parents. Yeah, I didn't think so. But it happens, right? It happens. So what God is asking of us is that in these moments of trouble, we might stand up and we might say, you know what? I'll help lead us out of this. I'll help lead us out of this mess. And I know that leading us out of this mess means that we have to love one another and love God. And what does that look like? That looks like playing together rather than fighting together, right? Can I ask y'all a question? Yeah? No? You think you can do it? Here's what I can also tell you. You will not have to do this work alone. You sit right smack dab in the middle of a church that is oriented toward healing, that is oriented toward loving, that is oriented toward unity rather than disunity. It's oriented toward people being connected rather than disconnected. So when you stand up on the playground, in the classroom, in the living room, out at the village, when you stand up, know that there are going to be lots of people who stand up behind you. You get it? You got it? Good. Scoot.